Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins with the new perek, the 13th perek of Ksubas, perek Shnei Dayone, and it's found at the bottom of Daf Kuf Dalid Omid Beis. The Mishnah. Shnei Dayone Gzeros Hoyu B'Yushalayim. You'll note we have markings, a dot underline and a dash underline. These will come in handy when we get to Kuf Hey on the Aleph, and we have a little arrow to the right, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, which indicates thusly. So there were two Dayone Gzeros. These are judges that are in charge of or oversee the issuance of rabbinic rulings. Admon v'chanan ben Avishalom. Two names to remember. Chanan omer shnei dvorim. Admon omer shiva. Within the context of our Mishnayos, he says two things. One we'll see very shortly, and the other is on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. And Admon, he speaks about 7 points, and his points will be featured from Kuf Ches Amud Beis to Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Mi Shaholach Limedina Sayam V'Ishto Tovas Mizonos. A man, a husband that went abroad, and his wife is seeking food support. In other words, she's a married woman and she needs to live. What's she going to live on? So Chanan Omer. We continue at the top of Kuf Hei Omer Aleph. Tishava basov velo tishava batchila. It's an expression that in and of itself seems obscure. She swears at the end but does not swear at the beginning. What that means is that in order to collect mizonos, she doesn't need to swear. And what the nature of the swearing is, that has to do with an oath she takes that she wasn't given an expense account ahead of time, and she's just trying to double dip right now. So that she doesn't have to swear. But when we hear that he's dead and she comes to collect her ksuba, she'll have to swear that she is not retaining any property of the husband in her possession. We have another school of thought that the Mishnah features, the school of thought called the B'nei Kehanim Gedolim, literally the sons of the high priests, and they say that she has to take an oath even to collect mizonos. And we dashed underline the point of contention. The Tanakhama Chanan says lo tishava betchila, and they say tishava betchila. Omar Rabbi Doiso ben Hyrcanus kedivrehem, he sides with the B'nai Kehanim Gedolim. Omar Rabbon Yochanan ben Zakkai yofe Omar Chanan, I approve of the Chanan approach, lo tishava ella besof, but not betchila. We raise a contradiction. Now, a contradiction to what? So on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads, Yishuv Stiros Bein Mishnosenu Braisa Be'inyan. We're here to present and resolve a contradiction between our Mishnah and another Tanaic source regarding, number one, Mispar Hadayonim, Beis Ogimel, the number of judges, are there two or three? And the Gezeros, are they Dayone Gzeros or Gezelos, Dayonim concerning thefts? Are they judges concerning thefts? And point three, Lefi HaMakoros Shemazkirim Shlosha mi heim hayu. And according to the sources that say there were three of these officials, three of these jurists, who are the three? In other words, we've heard two names already. Who's going to be the third? The Gemara asks, V'raminhi shloisha dayone gezelos hayu b'Yerushalayim. Notice our markings. The dot underline highlights a number, and that contrasts with the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amid Beis. There we saw two, here we see three. And here we have a dashed underline gezelos, and that contrasts with the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, where it's a gezeros. So this source says there were three jurists that dealt with thefts in Yerushalayim, and their names: Admon ben Gadoi, this is a new name; V'Chonon Hamitzri, V'Chonon ben Avishalom. So you see three names. Kashya Tlasa Train. One problem here is the numbers. Here we see three. There, in the an hour mission that we saw two. Kashya Gzeros Agzelos. And the topics concerning which they dealt, we see also an inconsistency here. It speaks about thefts, and there it spoke about Gzeros, rabbinic enactments. So Bishlam Tlasa Train Lo Kashya, as far as the numbers are concerned, that doesn't present a difficulty. The Chashiv Le Katani, the Lo Chashiv Le Lo Katani. As is the case in many areas of life, there are more important and less important individuals. So too here, the most important were named in the Mishnah. He who was of lesser significance was left out. The Brisa added a third party who was, relatively speaking, less significant. That's as far as the Mishnah. Elo gezeros agezelos kashya. What about the topics that they dealt with? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. He says, Rav Nachman says there's no problem whatsoever. Shohayu goizrin gezeros al gezelos. They issued rabbinic rulings concerning thefts. Kedisanya, and an example of that is in the following. Kitmok netia. If a netia is a sapling, a young tree, kitma is its tip was cut off. It was cut off. That is not good for the netia. It might in fact ruin the netia. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gozre Gezeros Sheb Yerushalayim Omrim. The rabbis who issued enactments concerning these matters. So here you have an example of, just like theft is a method of imposing a loss on an individual, so too is this. This is imposing a financial loss to an individual. Rashi speaks about someone's animal going into someone's domain, and the animal cuts off or nips off the top of someone's sapling. How do we assess that damage? So Rabbi Yossi tells us that the rabbis in Jerusalem that issued enactments concerning financial losses, Omrim Netio Bashnosa Shtei Kesef, a one-year-old sapling, a payment of two silver coins, Bas Shtei Shonim, a two-year-old sapling, Arba Kesef, four silver coins are paid. Viromini. Now we raise another problem, and you'll see the problem here is not in terms of numbers or topics, but rather names. It says in this source, Shloisha Dayone Gzeros Hayu B'Yerushalayim, there were three. Two of the names are familiar, Admon V'Chonon, and now a new name, V'Nochum. This name we didn't see before, so this presents a problem. If you're numbering three, we had a Tanaic source that opened the Gemara, there were three. But we didn't see Nochum in that source. Omar of Papa, Man Tana Nochum, Rabbi Nosanhi. it's not that we have a contradiction in sources, but rather we have a second Tanaic, opinion. It's a machlokis. Who are the three? Desanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Af Nochum Hamodi, Migozre Gzeros Rishalayim Hoya. V'lo hodu lo chachomim. Rabbi Nosson wants to include Nochum Hamodi amongst the Gozre Gzeros, and the rabbis did not agree. The Gemara asks, V'su Lekka, there are only three, V'omar of Pinchas, Omar of Boshaya, and here we're going to run into a large numbers of things. Shlosh Shmes V'tishim V'arba Bote Dinim Hoyu Rishalayim. There were 394 courts, and each court had 23 members in it. So if you want to do the arithmetic, go right ahead and multiply 23 times 394, and you'll see a large number of judges. Kenegdon, there were that number of Bote Knesios, synagogues to pray in, Kenegdon Bote Midrashos, Torah study centers for the study of Mishnah and Talmud, also 394. Kenegdon Bote Sofrim, and 394 places of elementary Torah education. So why do you speak about three judges when you see so many more? The Gemara answers, Dayanin Tuva Havu. There were many judges. V'chi Karminon, when we speak about the three, Agozre Gzeros Karminon. Those who were vested with the authority of issuing rabbinic enactments. Enactments aren't a function of judging a specific case. It's as its name implies. It's an enactment. And that, only three were involved with that. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading in Osei, Tashlu Maskuris Shel Gozre Hagzeros. The source of paying for these individuals, for these Gozre Hagzeros, they were employed, and where is their income going to be coming from? The Hezber Ech Mutu Lekabel Schar. And we have to explain, how is it possible to begin with to receive payment? Laor kamu mekuros shemeganim kabbalas charvur hadonas adin. A number of sources that criticize those who receive payment for judging. Very simply put, judgment should be done gratis. The Gemara. Omar Vyuda Maravasi, Gozre Gzeros Shibushalayim, Hoyu Notlim Schoron, Tishim Vitesha Mona Mitrumas Alishka. Those who were issued these enactments would receive wages to the amount of 99 mona, and the source of money was the Trumas Alishka. The Trumas Alishka is the Beis Hamikdash fund that from which various holy items were paid for. We'll see more detail about that later in our Gemara, but it's a specific fund that is associated with the Beis Hamikdash, one of the different Beis Hamikdash funds, the Trumas Halishka. One might note that money from the Trumas Halishka was used to pay for sacrifices. So that was their source of payment. Lo Rotsu Mosifin Lahem. And here we just translate to allow room for the Gemara's question that follows. Lo Rotsu, if they didn't like that, we would initially translate it possibly as they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted more, we would add. Whereas Lo Rotsu Otu Birshi Askinan. Could that possibly be that these people would be like that? That they wouldn't be satisfied? They want more than they need? Are they wicked people that are characterized by gluttony? Ella? Lo Safku, rather the understanding of Rav Yehuda's din is that if the 99 mona was not enough, Afalpi shelo ratzu mosifin lem. Even if they didn't want to have an increase in salary, we would add. Karna havashokil istira mizakai v'istira michayev v'doyin lehu dina. Karna was a judge who judged cases, who judged individual cases. He would take istira as a coin, a sela coin, from both parties, the innocent, the one found innocent, and the one found guilty. He would ask both parties to pay a sela, and then he would judge the case. Now we have a new geometric form on the side. We have it under our structural note heading, the Mivneh. And by the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. This geometric form is going to appear in an alternating direction, and you see that very easily by skimming down your daf. On the side under the Mivneh heading, we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the Gemara. The narrow part facing upwards of this trapezoid, eich, it's a shela, it represents a question. Eich oyamutu lekarna lekachas tashlim nidonim etzlo. How could Karna take payment from those that were being judged by him, by the litigants that appeared before him? The inverted shape indicates a response. So the Gemara opens up, first of all, with a long question, and that's noted with the marking. Vehechi, the Gemara asks, Vehechi oved hochi. How could Karna take payment? Voksi v'shochad lo sikach. The Torah says, thou shall not accept bribery. Vechitemo hani mili hechod lo shokil mitravayu. Dilma osi letzluye dina. You might say, that posuk is warning against taking bribery where it's not from Travai, where it's not from both sides, where it's from one side, the fear being that if you take money from one of the litigants, you'll end up, Latzlius, to tilt the judgment in his favor. Karna, Kevon Deshokim Mitravai, Lo Osi, Latzlius Edina. Karna, since he was taking the same amount from both litigants, he wasn't going to tilt the judgment. But that isn't necessarily true. V'chilo osi letzli edina mishari. And if he doesn't come to tilt the judgment, is it still mutter? V'hotanya. We will show you that even taking from both sides would not be allowed. V'shochad lo sikach. That's the pasuk we just cited. Ma talmud lomer. What is that coming to teach me? Im lelameg shelo luzakai is a chayev shelo lechayev is a zakai. Do not pardon the guilty, do not indict the innocent. Hare kvar nemar. There's another pasuk for twisted justice. It says, lo sate mishpat. Do not tilt judgment. Do not twist judgment. So, what does v'shochad lo sikach tell us? Elo afilu lezakeh zeh zakeh lechayev es achayev omro toiro v'shochad lo sikach. Even to issue an honest judgment, do not take pay. Even if it's a pay to pardon the innocent and to indict the guilty, still do not take pay. So how could Karna do what he did? The Gemara answers, Hani mili heichod ishokil b'torah shochat. That's where the initial payment was was as shochat. Literally, it would be where one was taking the payment as a bribe. But that's not what Karna was doing. Rashi says, about halfway down the page, B'toras shochada, shelo techaiveni im zakayani. Take this payment in order that you should not indict me if I am innocent. So it's a payment that's focused at the judgment. That's not what Karna was doing, though. Karna b'turas agro havishokil. He was taking payment because of the agro means schar, a wage. He was taking it because of the trouble he put himself to in order to judge. Pay me for my troubles. So the payment is for his troubles. It's not a payment for how the judgment should be rendered. The Gemara asks, "Baturas agra mishari," and is taking payment for your troubling yourself aloud. V'hotanan hanoytel schar ladun dinov betalin. One who takes wages for judging, his judgments are worthless, are void. So how could Karna take schar for what we call Torah's agra? The Gemara answers, "Hani mili agar dino." Rashi, agar dino lo omar lochem hadin ki im bischar kach v'kach. I'm not going to render a judgment unless you pay me thus and thus amount of money. That would be agar dino, payment for troubling yourself to issue a ruling. Karna wasn't saying pay me for the trouble I am taking to issue a ruling, but rather agar betela have a shokil. He was taking because he had a regular job with a regular wage, and in order to absent himself from his regular occupation, that would involve a loss. So he was seeking compensation for the loss that he would experience by excusing himself from his regular income to take care of the case. Question: the agar betelo mishori, and is that allowed? Vatanya mechur hadayan shenoytel schar ladun elo shedino din. That mechur is disgusting. Is the judge that takes schar for judgment? However, if he does, his ruling stands. This is in contrast with what we saw before, the taking of schar resulting in dinov betelim that we saw two lines ago. Hey chidomi, ilema agar dina. If this is referring to agar dina, which we described before as schar for tircha, the schar for issuing a judgment that you expect because of your troubling yourself to do thusly, that can't be the explanation of this source. V'hotanan. Let me read that again. Ilema agar dino, dino din. Would that be described as his judgment being accepted? V'hotanan hanoytu schar ladun dino betalin. His judgment is canceled, is voided. Ela agar betela. So, rather, this source of Mechur Hadayan is a fellow obviously taking wages because for compensation for the loss he otherwise experiences from absenting himself from his regular income. V'katoni Mechur Hadayan. And the judge who does thus is considered disgusting. So what is the explanation behind Karna? The Gemara answers, Hani Mili. When we say mechur hadayan for taking those wages, that's a type of loss, the betela, that's not obvious. It's not an obvious loss. Karna betela de mukha havishokil. Karna would have experienced an obvious loss. To have a tohi ba'ambara de chamra v'yohavi le'zuza. He used to be a wine, not a wine taster, but a wine sniffer. He would smell wine, and through the aroma, he would be able to determine whether the wine is ready, how it's going, etc., and so forth. And for that service, he would get paid a zuz. So, however long that took, by absenting himself for judgment, he's losing that obvious established fee that he would receive. So, and asking compensation for that type of loss, you're not considered a dayan that's mechur. Kiha de Rav Huna, and another example of that, of betela de mukha, another obvious loss that a person would experience for absenting themselves or from their regular preoccupation in order to judge is illustrated here. Ki had Rav Huna ki havi osi dina lekamei. When Rav Huna was presented with a case to judge, Omar lahu, he would tell the people, I'll judge your case. However, havu li gavra didoli li becharikoi, give me a man that will draw water to say to water my fields. Becharikoi means instead of me, fi edun luchudino, and then I'll be available to judge your case. As we continue, we have a topic heading on the side, a Nosei Klali, which goes until Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. So, a rather long topic ahead of us. We call in one word, Shochad, the issue of accepting bribes, or the prohibition of accepting bribes. Omar Rebbe Avo, Bo Ure'e, Kamos Samuyos Einehem, Shel Mekable Shochad. Come and see how blinding the acceptance of bribery can be. Adam chosh beinov nosei mamon lerofei. A person has an eye discomfort. He gives money to a doctor for a remedy. Sofek misrape, sofek einu misrape. You're paying money, and it's not clear whether you will have a benefit from that, whether it will be healed or not. Vehein notlin shovebruta mekabli shochad are people that take money umisamin einehem. Notice the incredible contrast. Generally speaking, a person has an eye problem. He pays out money to have the eye problem removed, and even then it's a doubt. It's doubtful. Bribe takers, They don't pay out money. They take money to have themselves blinded. That's umisamen einehem. Shneimar ki ashochad yaver pikhin. Bribery blinds the otherwise wise. Tonu rabbanan. And here we have cite the psukim that are relative to this topic. Ki ashochad yaver einei chachamim. The ability of bribery is that it can blind the eyes of the wise. Kal v'chomer l'tipshin, and all the more so the foolish. V'salef divrei tzadikim, and aberrate, distort the words of the righteous. Kal v'chomer l'rishoyim, all the more so the wicked. The Gemara asks, according to this source, the bribery has an effect on all kinds of people that would serve as judges. So maybe I understand Chachomim and Tzadikim, the wise, the righteous, they could serve as judges. But in the source, it implies that not only judges that are Chachomim and Tzadikim could be affected, but judges that are Tipshim and Rishoyim also could be affected. But by declaring that, you're presenting the assumption that the fools and the wicked can serve as judges, just that they'd be affected by bribery. But that assumption is problematic. Midi tipshim u'rishoyim b'nei dino ninu. Are the fools and the wicked capable or qualified for serving as judges? Ela hachi komar. So we have to reread the source. The source is really saying thusly. Ki ashochad yaver einei chachomim. The bribery blinds the wise, the eyes of the wise. Afilu chocham gadol v'lokeach shochad. Even someone who initially was a very wise man, great wise man, and he takes bribery, eino nifter min olam b'lo samuyas alev. You can rest assured that by the time he leaves this world, he will be leaving the world with blindness of heart, with the inability to judge. V'salev divrei tzadikim. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, the pasuk that said, "V'sadi v'tzadikim afilu tzadik gomor v'lokeach shochad." Someone who initially is a totally righteous individual. Notice the between the lines. What you see here is a person can be at a certain point totally righteous, but when offered that money, the money can infiltrate, can penetrate, even the armor of a very righteous individual. Some things are part of the human, the essence of the of humanity, the essence of the human being. And as we've mentioned many, many times in Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim, and that the Talmud, the Torah, especially the Torah Sheba'al Peh, reveals the inner workings of the human being. And those are elements that are just part of the human fabric. They do not change, and one cannot say, as so many ignoramuses claim, that the Talmud is an old book, it doesn't apply anymore, God forbid. It's a very current, up-to-date, and I say even futuristic piece of work, because by learning the Torah, you understand the workings of the human, you understand the human dynamic, and with that, you can anticipate even ahead in time what is going to be. So, here a classic example of someone who is a tzadik gomor, but he takes shochad. Eino niftar min ha'olam below tiruf hadas. You can rest assured he's not going to leave this world without a certain level of, well, tiruf hadas, to translate that as a distorted thinking, a touch of insanity. But you get the idea. The shochad has this power of distortion that can affect even someone who initially was totally righteous. Ki osa ravdimi omar. Before we go on, let's just point out how the source was the original source was rectified, and that the source is not telling us about people who are currently fools and wicked. The pasuk is describing those who are currently qualified judges, what will happen to them if they take shochad. Ki osa ravdimi omar. When ravdimi came, he told us, Doras Rav Nachman bar Koyin, Mai dichtiv melech b'mishpat yamid oretz, v'ish trumos yarsena. That's a posuk, and let's let the Gemara break it down. Im doime dayan lemelech, if a judge is like a king, in what sense? She'eno tzorch leklum. Kings are understood to be wealthy individuals. They have a royal treasury. They have plenty of money, way beyond their daily needs. So if a judge is like a king in that he's independently wealthy, and he doesn't need to cater to any litigants that appear in front of him. He doesn't have to flatter anybody. Yamid Oretz, he will maintain society. Literally, he'll enable the world to stand. If the judge is like a Kohen, now Kohen does not have any fields. Kohanim, tribe of Levi, did not receive an inheritance. They don't have, from the Torah standpoint, they're not given land as, let's say, a matter of course. How are they supported? They're supported through, you have to pardon the expression, they're supported through handouts. It's true, it's an official handout, it's a mitzvah handout, it's a Torah-sanctioned handout, but it's a handout. It's called truma. They're supported through tithes, and they have to go from place to place in order to get their tithe. So they're always going around. To use an offhanded expression, they're always on the take. But in our context, that's the idea here. And if the judge is like a Kohen that doesn't have independent personal wealth, but is dependent on others for their payments, well, he will destroy society. That's Yahar Sena. He'll destroy the world. Oma Rabo Ba Rav Shilo. Hai Dayona Deshel Shelta, a Dayan, who's a regular borrower of items from people in his community. He borrows animals, he borrows vessels. He is posel meidandina. He is unfit, he's disqualified from serving as a judge. Again, a description of dependency. V'lo amor el delesle lo shule. This is true only if he doesn't have what to loan to others. Avil isle lo shule. But if he has items that are available to loan out to others, then less lon ba. Then we're not bothered by the fact that he borrows from others. Eini v'ha rova shoyel shilta midabei bar merion afagav delo shayli mine. We see Rava, who borrowed from this family of the Bay Bar Marion, even though Bay Bar Marion didn't borrow from him, we don't have this dual relationship of borrowing and lending, and yet it didn't bother Rava. He borrowed and wasn't in the position where he lent to them. The Gemara responds, Hosam lach shuvinu hu deboi. Rava didn't really need to borrow from them. He borrowed from them to give them a feeling of importance, to raise their morale. That here the great Rava was borrowing from them, that would give them a feeling of importance. So he did that for that reason, but not out of dependency. Omar Rava, my time of the Shochada, why is it forbidden to take money in order to exonerate the innocent? We're not talking about tilting justice. That's obviously corrupt. But what's the problem in taking money to, in fact, exonerate the innocent? Like we saw before, someone comes to you as a judge and says, listen, take this money, and if you find me to be innocent, so declare my innocence. The Gemara answers, Kevon de kobule shocha domine. Once you take money from somebody, ikruvo le daite legabe, vavi kigufe, your mind and his mold into one, or meld into one, and you become like him. You are him. Then you think you're the judge. No, you're the defendant. Vi ein odem roya chayvel atzmo, and since you are supposedly serving in the capacity of judge, you won't be able to see anything negative. Negative about yourself. My shochad, what's behind the word shochad? Shehu chad, that the two, he and I, are one. The word shochad, you can see, would be a contraction of these two words, shehu chad. Omar Rav Papa, lo leidun inish dina, one should not serve as a judge, leman derochim le, for one whom he is very friendly with, one who you love, velo leman desoni le, nor for one that you hate. Derochim le, one who you love, how can you serve as a judge for him? Lo chazi lechova. You won't be objective. There's lack of objectivity. You won't be able to see any negative side. Desoni le, one who you disdain. Lo chazi le zuchusa. You won't be able to see any positive side. A judge needs to see both sides in any given case and in any given litigant. Omar Abaye. There's a note we have on the side, a topic heading, Tzubur Rabbonon Shebnei Mekomo Avi Moisai, a rabbi. Tzubur Rabbonon is a Torah scholar. In this case, we're referring to what we would call colloquially as a rabbi, that the people of his community love him. Definitely a good situation. Let's see, what do we mean by that? Omar Abai, Hait Tzubur Rabbonon, De Merachmin Le B'nei Masa, a rabbi of a community that the B'nei Masa, the people of a community, the townspeople love him. Lav Mishum D'mali Tvei, it's not because of his exceptionally positive characteristics. Elo Mishum D'lo Muchach Lehu B'mili D'shmaya, it's because he does not chastise them regarding their behavior regarding heaven, which means he will see them violate many sins and remains silent, looking the other way, not admonishing them. That causes people, that will certainly engender affinity toward him. Look at the rabbi, he doesn't bother us, he leaves us alone, and thereby creating this feeling of mrachminle, of liking him. But liking him as a result of his looking the other way is not a good situation. The job of the rabbi is to pay attention. Of course, doing so in a tactful, meaningful fashion, but nevertheless, yes, to point out and admonish when that needs to be done. Omar Rava, Meiresh, Hava Amina. At first, I used to think, Hani B'nei Mechuza. Mechuza was the name of the town in which Rava was the rabbi. So he said, "The my townspeople, I used to think, Kulu Rachmuli, that everyone loves me. Kevon Dehavoi Daina, when I became a judge, Amina, I then figured, well, when you have to judge cases, you have two parties. One is going to be found guilty and one is going to be found innocent. So I then figured, Minayu Sanuli, Uminayu Rachmuli. Of them, there are those that will hate me, and there are those that will love me. Namely, those that I find innocent, they'll love me. Those that I find guilty will hate me. However, Kevon Dechazoi, Demande Mechayev Leo Idna Kozochi Lamachar, when I noticed that as time went on, the same people that today I found guilty in one case, tomorrow or on some later time, the same person comes with another case and I find that same person innocent. So, Amino, I then figured that their feelings toward me cannot be a result of how I judge them in any specific case. So, Amino, im rachem, kulu rachmuli. If I am liked, they all can like me. Or they all like me, im misnu. And if I am hated, kulu sonuli, then they all hate me. Tonu rabbanan, v'shochad lo sikach. The topic that we're going to deal with very shortly, and this Braisa opens the topic, is Heichi Domi, on the side we've written under the Nosei heading, Heichi Domi Shochad Dvorim. The word Dvorim often means words, but it's going to refer to Shochad that is not a direct frontal offering of money, and yet it can be considered Shochad. The Pasuk says, V'shochad lo sikach, Eino tzorach lomar shochad mamon. That, I don't have to tell you that the Torah is warning against taking financial bribes. And afilu shochad dvorim nami oser. Even that is prohibited. Midalo ksiv, from the fact that the Torah doesn't use the expression betza lo sikach. Had the Torah said betza, the word betza is associated with, we'll say, with cash, with money payments. But yet the Torah uses the word shochad, giving room for a broader interpretation of what is forbidden. Heichi domi shochad dvorim. Well, what do you mean by shochad dvorim? And you see triangles, and you'll see quite a few of them. On the side under the Mivneh heading, you can see the triangle introduces Maisim Hamitarim Shochad Dvorim. We'll have a number of incidents where Shochad Dvorim is illustrated. We'll see another marking, a double underline, and that highlights the expression Dino Isli, where the member, where the participant in each story will be saying, I have a case that needs to be judged. And a dashed underline will appear, highlighting the expression Pasilno Loch Ladina. In Gemara markings, as we've pointed out many times, we'll often use markings to show the repetitive structure of a particular Gemara. And as you scan ahead over here, you can see each triangle has the same, we'll say, the same theme to it. The Gemara. In response to what is Shochad Dvorim, Ki Ha Deshmuel Havei Ovar B'Mavra, Shmuel was crossing at on a bridge. Also, Hahu Gavra, Yohiv Le Yodei. In crossing the bridge, so Shmuel needed assistance to get off of it. So someone extended his hand in assistance. Omar Le Mai Aviditoch. So Shmuel asked, what are you doing here? Omar Le Dino Isli. He says, I'm here because I need a case to be judged. Omar Le Shmuel, who was a judge, he says, well, Pasil Naloch Ladina, I can't judge your case. What do we see from here? From the fact that Shmuel received what might even be a very, very inconsequential, very insignificant favor, but Shmuel was a receiver. And as a receiver, he loses the total objectivity that's required of a judge. So he disqualified himself from serving as a judge. Amemar have a Yosef Kodoyin Dina. Amemar was in the midst of judging cases. Porach Gadfo Areshe, a bird flew over his head. It was bothersome. Osahu Gavro Shakle, and some man came and removed it. Amale my avidetoch. Amemar asks him, "What are you doing here?" Amale Dino Isli, I have a case that needs to be judged. Amale Pasilno Loch Ladinov. And Amemar informs him, "I'm sorry, I am disqualified. I can't judge your case. I just received, you just benefited me." Morukfa Havishodi Roika Kame. Where Marufa was seated, there was some saliva, there's some spit in front of him, and that could be disgusting. Asahu Gavro Kasi, some man came along and covered it up. Amale Maya Viditoch, Amale Dino Isli, Amale Pasil Noloch Ladina. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi have a rogil arise da have a maisi le kol mali shabato kanto de peri. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was regular to have his sharecroppers, arise, his sharecropper, bring his the percentage that he owed to the owner, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the percentage of his fruits every Erev Shabbos. The word kanto de peri, a basket full of fruits every Erev Shabbos. Humachad Aisile Beheba Shabbato. One day the sharecropper brought a day early. And let's assume that it's convenient to have things a day early. There's a certain benefit in having it a day early. A day early, in this case, a Heba Shabbat is Thursday. Thursday is the day in which judgments are rendered. On Mondays and Thursdays, the courts sit in session. Omar Le Maishno Idna. So Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi asks, what's different today that you're bringing the fruits early? Amale Dino Isli, I have a case, Vamino, and I figured Agav Urchi Aisi Le Lamar. And by the way, I'll bring the fruits that I bring to you anyway, just bring it today early. Lo Kobel Mine, Shmuel did not accept the fruits from him. Amale Pasilno Loch Ladino, and he also disqualified himself. Oisiv Zuzo Durabonan Vekodainin Le. In his stead, Shmuel appointed a pair of alternate rabbis to judge this man's case. Bahadi deKaozio veOsi. Rashi says Bahadi deKaozio veOsi b'chol asher holechu bo. As Shmuel was pacing back and forth, Hayalibo lizchusu shel oisa oris uboyin lo pischei zchuyos. The only thing that arose in Shmuel's mind were what this sharecropper could claim for his own benefit. Beneficial claims. The Omer believed Bahalavai Yiton Kach Fikach Yiske Bedin, and in his heart, Shmuel was saying, oh, it should only be that he'll win the case. So now the Gemara, Bahadi the cause of Asi, as Shmuel was going back and forth, Omar, If he wants, he would be able. He could claim this. He could claim that. All kinds of claims that would exonerate him or enable him to win the case. And then Shmuel says, "Omar tipach nafsham shamekable shochad." Literally, blasted be the souls of those that accept bribes, or blasted be the spirits of those that accept bribes. Umani shelo natalti. Look at me. I didn't take. I didn't take the basket of fruits. Vim notalti shalim notalti. Kach. And even if I took the basket of fruits, I was only taking something that belongs to me. And yet, look at me, how my thinking process became so clouded, so one-sided. Mekabli shochad alachas kama v'kama. Those who take actual bribes, all the more so. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Bar Elisha, Aisi Le Ahugavra Reishis Hagez. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elisha was a Kohen Gadol at the latter part of the second Beis Hamikdash period. And as a Kohen, he was entitled to receive the shearing's tithe when sheep are shorn. So a certain amount of the shearings are to be given to the Kohen. That's discussed more elaborately in Maseches Bechoros, and the Torah calls that Reishis Hagez. So there was a man that was bringing to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elisha his shearings. Amarlei Mehechaat, he asks, Rabbi Shmuel asks him, where are you from? Amarlei Meduch Pulan, from such and such a place. And so Rabbi Shmuel says, Mehasam Lahacha Lohava Kohen Lemeisvalei, from there till here, as you traveled such a distance, there was no other Kohen to give the shearing, so they had to schlep it all the way to bring it to me. Amarlei Dino Isli, I have a case that needs to be judged by me. Agabur Chai, and by the way, I see Le Lamar. I'll bring the wool to you, you're a Kohen, and you'll take it. Amalei pasilnu loch ladina lo kabil mine osif le zuga the rabbanan the kodaini le. Just like the story before we saw with Shmuel, he Shmuel bar Elisha. I mistakenly said Shmuel. No, I mean Rabbi Shmuel bar Yosi. So just like we saw with that Rabbi Shmuel bar Yosi, we have here Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha after disqualifying himself, he sets up alternative judges to take care of the case, and they judged his case. Badi de kozil the osi, as he was going back and forth, pacing back and forth. Omar iboy toin hachi, viboy toin hachi. Omar tipach nafsham shom mekabli shochad. Uma ani shalona talti. I didn't even take the rachis, I guess, from that man. And if I would have taken it from him, I was taking something that was coming to me anyway. I'm a Kohen. It's not as if I'm getting paid something that's out of the ordinary. I'm receiving gracious, I guess, which is mine to receive anyway. And yet, kach, look at how my thinking became distorted, one-sided, unobjective. Mekable shochad alachas kama v'kama. People who accept real bribery, all the more so, they will lose clarity and objectivity of thought. Rav Onan, now here we have a story, it's a long maisa, it of course fits into the context of the stories of Shochad Dvorim that we've had till now, but this is a particularly long maisa, which will take us a good few lines down, Kuf Vavam and Aleph. Rav Onan, who by the way has starred in a couple of stories already in our Masechta, Aisi Le Hahu Gavra Kanto de Gildani de Bay Gili. A man brought a basket full of small fish from this place called Bay Gili. Omar Mai Avidatoch, Rav Onan says, well, what are you doing here? Omar Le Dino Isli Lo Kobil Mine. Omar Le Pasilna Loch Ladina. Not only did Rav Onan refuse accepting the fish, he also said, I am disqualified from judging your case. Omalei dina demor lo boina. I don't need you to judge me. That's not why I'm standing here in front of you with the fish. Kibuli likpil mor the lo limanon mor meakruve bikurim. I want you to accept the fish from me, so as not to prevent me from fulfilling the mitzvah of giving bikurim. Bikurim. When you study about Bikurim in the Torah, you will know that that has to do with a special tithe given to a Kohen from one's first fruits of a season. To blossom, those are reserved, they're set aside for the Kohen, and it's called the Bikurim tithe. So this concept of giving a Bikurim tithe is expanded here to gifts that one gives to Torah sages. Desanya. The Gemara gives us an extensive background to that. The pasuk says, "V'ish ba mibal shalisha, v'yavei le'ish ho'alakim lechem bikurim esrim lechem sorim v'karmel b'tziklono." Now this pasuk features the prophet Elisha. And in the pasuk you saw mentioned Bikurim, Lechem Bikurim. V'chi Elisha Oichel Bikurim Havi, was Elisha a Kohen? Elisha wasn't a Kohen. Rashi gives his background and is hence reveals that Elisha is associated with the tribe of God, not the tribe of Levi, and not a Kohen. Ela Lomar Loch. So what is the reference of Bikurim in the context of this man bringing something to Elisha the prophet? Anyone who brings a gift to a Talmud Chacham, it is tantamount, it's equal to the offering of Bikurim. Omar Lay, Rav Onan says, Kibuli lo bo'inon de'ikbil. I didn't want to accept this gift at first. Hashta di'amusli taima makbil. Now that you're explaining to me your reasoning, so I will accept. In other words, my acceptance will enable you to get the credit, gain the merit of fulfilling Bikurim. Shadre l'kamed Rav Nachman. Rav Onan sent the man to Rav Nachman for judgment. In other words, we saw that the man said, I have a case that needs to be judged. So Rav Onan said, oh, I've got a colleague of mine, Rav Nachman, he'll take care of your case. Sholach le, nidaine mor lahai gavro, dano onon pasilno le ledina. Will you, Rav Nachman, judge this man's case? Because I, Onan, am disqualified. Omar, Rav Nachman said, b'dishoch li hachi. Rav Nachman didn't hear all of the background to the case. He just made the assumption that from the fact that Rav Onan is saying, I am disqualified to judge this man's case, shma mino krevehu, it must be that this is a relative, and relatives cannot serve in judgment of their own relatives. So Rav Nachman made this assumption that the man that's now coming in to be judged is a relative of Rav Onan. At that moment, at that time, there happened to be a case that of orphans that needed to be judged. Omar, Rav Nachman said, and here we continue at the top of Daf Kuf Vav, Hai Asei V'Hai Asei. Rav Nachman reasoned that the mitzvah, that to judge is the fulfillment of a mitzvah. The Rashi quotes the pasuk "Vishvatitem tzedek." There's a positive command in issuing proper judgment. V'hayasei, and giving honor to Torah scholars is also a positive command. So that by of course in Rav Nachman's mind, by judging the relative of Rav Nachman, he's bestowing honor to the Torah, as this man represents Rav Onan. Asay, the Kovod Torah Odif, the Asay of Kovod Torah is a greater consideration. Salke Ladino Diasmi, the Achte Ladine. So he moved aside the case of the orphans, and he ushered in the Rav Onan and his litigant. That is, Rav Onan's relative and the litigant for judgment. Kevon de Choza Baldine Yakro de Ka'ovid Lay, when the man standing, the litigant arguing against Rav Onan's relative, saw the Yakro, the honor that Rav Nachman was bestowing upon this man, so istatim tanose, he became flustered, and literally istatim is sealed up, his tainus, his claims became sealed, meaning he couldn't think clearly anymore. He was befuddled. Rav Onan have rogil eliol de osi gabei. Here this is something that's just simply fantastic. Rav Onan was a person living, of course, in the Amoraic period, and he was visited regularly by the prophet or the angel Eliyahu. Eliyahu Anovi used to be a regular by Rav Onan. Dahavimasni le Seder Eliyahu. There's a work that we know as Tana de Eliyahu. That's referred to as Seder Eliyahu. Eliyahu's teaching. And Rav Onan used to have the privilege of the author himself teaching Rav Onan that work. Kevon de Ovad Hochi is stalik. With this incident, where Rav Onan was involved with his relative being sent over to Rav Nachman for judgment, Rav Onan behaving quite decently by disqualifying himself and and sending this man who was thought to be his relative. It wasn't his relative, but it was thought to be his relative, to Rav Nachman. And as a result of that, the litigant lost his ability to think clearly, became befuddled. So Istalik, Eliyahu stopped visiting Rav Onan. Notice we're dealing with something on a very, very fine level, a very delicate level of judgment. As we said, Rav Onan did not do anything wrong. It's all that which was perceived and derived and inferred and what have you, that as a result of that, someone brought it on himself. He himself became befuddled. And yet, there was this very refined level of injustice that took place. That was enough to keep Eliyahu Hanavi away from Rav Onan. And by the way, what you do see here is that outside of this, Rav Onan was a pristine, pure, that nothing even of the finest, of the most abstract and minor difficulties or imperfections, nothing of that sort was characterized Rav Onan. Well, but this did happen, and it could be traced back, of course, totally inadvertently, but traced back to Rav Onan. And Eliyahu stopped coming. Yosef Betanisa, Rav Onan was totally distraught, and he observed fastings, Ubo Rachmi, and prayed. The Osa and Eliyahu came back. However, it wasn't the same. Ki Osa have mavisle ba'usi. At this point, when Eliyahu would come, he would come in a very sudden fashion, and that suddenness would cause Rav Onan a fright. And the Ova Tevusa, the Yosef Kameh, he made some type of box, a booth, and he would sit in this booth ad the apik le sidre. He would sit in this booth until Eliyahu was finished teaching him. Vahainu di Omar di Amri, and with this in mind, we now understand what is said. Seder Eliyahu Rabo, Seder Eliyahu Zuta. We have these. We know of these works. One is called Eliyahu Rabo, and the other Seder Eliyahu Rabo, and the other is called Seder Eliyahu Zuta. Rashi says on the third line from the top, Seder Eliyahu Rabo Shalomat Chutz L'Teva. That's Rabo means the great teachings, the greater teachings of Eliyahu. Those were the teachings that Rav Onan absorbed before the sitting in the booth. And Seder Eliyahu Zuta Shalomat B'Socha Teva. That's the Zuta means the minor, the lesser teachings. Those are the teachings that he learned while in the booth. The Tosfos comments on this on the top. Omar Rebbe Lefi Shehifsik Belimudo LeRav Onan. Since there was a break in Rav Onan's study by Eliyahu, Cholkei Lishnei Storim. It's split into two orders. Ubapam Rishon Lomad Menu Yoiser Min Hoarba Yodos Kori LeRishon Seder Eliyahu Rabo LeBasra Kori Zuta. It seems from Tosfos that 4/5 of that work he had learned before the break, and the final fifth he learned after the break. And since it's only 1/5 of what he learned, so that's why it's called Eliyahu Zuta. Suta again meaning small Eliyahu. Before we conclude, let us once again remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.